Hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon today. We are so glad you're with us. How does God the Father decide whom he loves? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Of course, God the Father loves the whole world, but in a very generic way, but in a special way, he loves certain people. How does he decide who those people are? We're going to talk about that today. But first, let me just thank you once again for being faithful listeners. I hope you'll tell your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, everybody about our podcast, our YouTube here. And thank you also for being such a faithful prayer, and for so many of you, such a faithful giver. We appreciate it so, so much. Remember, Not a Sermon America is on in Miami and Nolens right now. So pray with us that the many people there for the Super Bowl this weekend and for Mardi Gras will hear the gospel and come to Christ. Now, let me remind you, my newest book is out, People Jesus Met, perfect for Bible studies, Sunday school classes, small groups. I've almost finished volume 2, so let's hurry up and buy volume 1. Okay, and then we have a lot of copies, not a lot, but many, of my 23rd Psalm book that if you write in or send an email or whatever, we'll be happy to send you one free. And my brokenness book, which is out of print, but we're in the process of getting our printer to make another run. And as soon as that's done, we'll let you know. The subtitle for this is How God Redeems Pain and Suffering. Okay, so People Jesus Met, you can get on Amazon. You see, I have on my Holy Land pilgrimage shirt. We are doing our Best of the Holy Land tour, which, Lord willing, we do every year in October because the weather's beautiful and everything's beautiful in October. And so this is posted online. You can print it off. We're working on the printed brochures right now, and many of you will be receiving them because you're on our mailing list. But this you can print right off the internet. The Footsteps of Paul tour is full. And you say, yeah, but that's not till May. I know. Praise the Lord. If you want to get on the waiting list, please let us know. Okay, we're ready to pray and we're ready to go. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your wonderful word. And we want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you would use it today in a mighty way in our lives. Lord, use it to encourage our faith. Use it, Lord, to fortify our walk with Christ. Use it, Lord, to strengthen our soul until we're able to meet you personally, face to face, either at the rapture or leaving this earth. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So God, help me as I teach the word, anoint me by your Spirit. Help us as we listen to the word, illuminate our hearts by your Spirit. And we do pray for Not a Sermon America going on right now in New Orleans and in Miami. Oh God, may someone, many people, hear it, follow up, come to our website, hear the gospel, come to Christ, go to heaven for all of eternity, all because of a 45-second ad that the people listening to my voice right now helped us put on the air in these cities. God, we commit people, you know, who have an appointment with you to bumping into Not a Sermon, but not by accident, but by divine providence. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Now, we are working our way through the section in John's Gospel, chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, that this section is not in any of the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're just approaching the end of chapter 16, so let's pick up where we left off. And remember, these four chapters fall between the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane. The Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where they fall. All right. Now, chapter 16, John's Gospel. Verse 21. Truly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. Talking about when Jesus is arrested and crucified. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. For the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, I say to you now that you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Talking about the resurrection. Now that we looked at last week, verse 25, here's where we pick up from last week. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you. Remember, we said the question was, God loves the whole world, John 3:16, but he loves certain people in the world in a more intimate, personal way. How do we decide? How does God decide who these people are? Well, Jesus is about to tell us. Look, he says, in that day when I've been resurrected, I don't need to speak to you anymore in figurative language. And I don't tell you that in that day I will pray to God the Father and ask him to love you and be kind and benevolent to you. Jesus said, I don't need to do that. Why? Verse 27, look, because the Father himself loves you in this unique, special way, this familial way. Because, look at verse 27, because, here's why, you have loved me and believed that I came forth from God. I came from the Father, and I have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Okay, two reasons Jesus gives why God has this special familial love for certain people in the world. Number one, verse 27, because you have loved me, Jesus said. Number two, because you have believed that I came from God. That's why. Folks, if you believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, the second person in the Godhead, come to earth to go to the cross and complete the plan of salvation that God has had in the works from the day Adam and Eve sinned, and even from before, in his mind. If you believe that, God's going to love you in a way that he does not love the rest of the world. He's going to have a warm, familial, family affection for you that he doesn't have for the rest of the world. This is what the Bible teaches. We become his children, and he loves us not as simply his creation. He loves us as his child. John 1:12, but as many as received him, that is Christ, who accepted the fact that he was the Messiah, second person in the Godhead, to them, and this is emphasized in the Greek New Testament, to them and them only, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, who were born again by second birth, the spiritual birth, John chapter 3, that he told Nicodemus about. John 3:35, and the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. The Father loves the Son, okay? The Father loves the Son. John chapter 5, verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things. God loves the Son. We're using human language, anthropomorphic language here. Of course he loves the Son. The Son is him. They're the same essence, but he's using human language to tell us certain things. He loves the Son. Now look at John 14. Jesus speaking, John chapter 14, verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself, make myself known to him. God loves the Son. And whoever loves the Son, what does Jesus say here? God will love him or her and make himself known to them in John 14. And then John 16, Jesus says, the Father himself, verse 27, look at this, loves you because you have loved me, because you seek to keep my commandments, John 14, and because you believed I came forth from the Father, John chapter 1, verse 12. So, what is the Bible teaching here? Let's summarize. The Bible is teaching that God loves the whole world in a general way. It's real, but it's generalized. He loves some people in the world in a family way that is unique and different, deeper, more intimate, more powerful than his generalized love for the world. How do you get to be a child of God? John 1:12. By believing in Christ. And here's the syllogism. The Father loves the Son. Anyone who obeys and seeks to serve the Son loves the Son. And the Father loves anyone who loves the Son. There we go. He loves anyone who believes in the Son, the Lord Jesus, because they become his child. And he loves them as one of his children, not just the general human race, but his special, born again, spiritually birthed children. All right, are you with me? Now, this is very important because there are a lot of people, even Christians, who believe that God loves everybody the same and that everybody's going to heaven. They just go there different ways through Buddha, through Muhammad, through the Mormons, through Confucius, through animism, through whatever, being a good person, through Judaism. This is not what the Bible teaches. To the contrary, it teaches the opposite. John 3:36. You say, you know, I've heard you say this before. You're right. And you know what? I'm saying it again. There's so many people out there who don't believe me when I say it and when I show them the verses from the Bible. So I have to keep pounding it in. And still there are Christians who don't say they're Christians and don't believe it. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. How do you get eternal life? You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he who does not believe in the Son, believes in Buddha, believes in Muhammad, believes in Confucius, believes in the teachings of rabbinic Judaism, blah, 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 believes in anything else, will not see life. But the wrath, the judgment, the anger of God abides on that person. Oh my gosh. How can you say it any simpler than that? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. For there is no other name. Listen, no other name. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not Muhammad, not Joseph Smith, not Mary Baker Eddy, not Rabbi Schneerson, not no other name under heaven, anywhere, given among men by which we can be saved. No other name. Just want to drive that point home again. Who does God have this family love for? This unique, personal, intimate love for? What did Jesus say? John chapter 16, verse 27. People who have loved Jesus and believed that he came from God the Father. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in our passage, because we're going to stop now and we're going to ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on now. One, two, three. So what? Oh, yes. Yes. And if you're one of these people who enjoys and has this familial, special, intimate love from God the Father, then what do we say? We say, how sweet it is. Yes, how sweet it is. You got it, Jackie Gleason. How sweet it is to have that relationship. And you say, well, you know what? I'm not really sure that I think this is fair, that God chooses out certain people to love more than he loves other people. You know, this should be more global. God's love should. It should be more socialistic, where we're all the same and everybody has, God loves everybody and he doesn't have any favorites. Well, that's fine. If you're welcome to feel any way you want to feel. But I'm telling you, based on the word of God, that this is not correct. It's not the way it is. God has, I don't want to call them favorites, but God has a special classification of people called his children. Not by the will of man, not by the will of the flesh, not by human works, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12, his children, his adopted children in Christ. And he has a special love for each one of them that is more intimate, more special, and more privileged than his generalized love for the world. His generalized love for the world means that he sends rain. Paul says it in Acts chapter 17. The apostle Paul said this where he was talking to the philosophers on Mars Hill. And he said in Acts chapter 17, God gives to all men life and breath and food to eat. And it rains on all men, and crops grow. I mean, he has a generalized love for the world, but he has these special people who he has a special love for because of their faith in Christ and their love for Christ. You say, I don't know. Does that make sense? Of course it does. Look, people are the same way. People are the same way. It's an example. I mean, it's obviously a human example, so it loses a little in translation. But the neighborhood in which I live has a number of people who have dogs. And I love dogs. Ever since my childhood, ever since I had my own dog, Noah, when I was in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, when I was a member of the fraternity there, when I first came to Christ. People love their dogs, and they take them out for walks here in my neighborhood. So back when COVID hit, we have a wonderful family friend who helped us secure a golf cart so that I could take my daughter Jill out riding in the golf cart. and give her a break from the monotony of just being around the house and riding in her van, because she couldn't go anywhere. She won't wear a mask. So, you know, we couldn't take her to Target or the grocery store or anywhere. And her day program at McLean Bible Church, called ADDP, Adults with Disabilities Day Program, had to close for a while because of COVID. So anyway, we started riding around in this golf cart 9 months out of the year, and Jill developed a love for taking milk bones. We would take a big container of milk bones, and she would feed them. I taught her how to feed them to the dog. God bless Jill. Sometimes if the dog was a little reticent, she would actually try to shove it in the dog's mouth because she knew where it went. She knew it went in his mouth. We began building a little bit of a relationship with these people who have dogs. And we've continued that now that COVID is no longer the crisis that it was. We still go out, Jill and I do, whenever the weather's nice. And we do this. But even when I walk, because I try to walk around my circle at least of 5 times a week, I carry these dog biscuits with me in my pocket. And then when I come across these folks walking their dogs, the dogs know me. No, I'm serious. The dogs do. Dogs will start barking and trying to pull their owners towards me from a half a block away, trying to get, they see me. It's wonderful. Now, let me tell you something I've noticed. People in this neighborhood who wouldn't even speak to me prior to COVID are suddenly now my friends. They're warm, they're friendly. Loving their dogs has caused them, in return, to love me because I love their dog. Or at least, let's say, liking their dog has caused them to at least like me. I don't know about loving, but liking me. Why? It's real simple, folks. You love somebody's dog, they're going to love you. Why? Because they love their dogs. And they love anybody who love their dogs. God the Father loves his Son. We just read about it. And God the Father loves anybody who loves his Son that he loves. Are you with me? And it's perfectly normal. And people are the very same way on a much smaller scale. Love the Son, the Father loves you. Believe in the Son, the Father loves you in a special family way. Now, let me close by answering one question. And the question is, what if I don't love Jesus as much as I should love Jesus? Will God still love me? Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, John chapter 16, we just read it. Jesus said, verse 27, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. So what if you don't love Jesus as much as you wish you did? What if you don't love Jesus as much as you think you should or you know you should? Does that mean God the Father doesn't love you because you could love Jesus better than you do? Answer, no. That does not mean God the Father doesn't love you. Friends, all of us could love Jesus better than we love Jesus. We're all sinners. We're all human beings. We're all selfish. We're all self-centered. And as a result, our love for the Lord Jesus for every one of us is imperfect. I mean, it's nice to say love Jesus 100% with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But nobody can do that. We're sinners. We can't do that. So, as I said, all of us, our love for Jesus is imperfect. But notice here, Jesus didn't say, let's look at verse 27, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. Jesus doesn't say, because you have loved me 100%. Jesus doesn't say, because you have loved me with every fiber of your being, not one single percent of your being is not in love with me. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, God the Father loves you because you have loved me. Most of the world hates Jesus. Most of the world wants nothing to do with Jesus. And when we love Jesus to the best of our ability, with as much of our heart as we can muster, of course it's not 100% pure, but we want it to be pure, and we're trying to make it pure, and we're asking God to help us make it purer. And over the years, God does refine it to be purer. Jesus simply said, we have to love him. So, if you love Jesus to the best of your ability, you qualify. If you love Jesus but you wish you loved him more, you qualify. If you love Jesus but you know that you could do better in loving him, you still qualify. If you don't love Jesus and believe in him, you don't qualify for God to have this special love for you. But you can, if you want to, you can change that right now. And I'm going to give you the chance right this second. So let's bow our heads. And if you really want to change this situation and become one of God's children and give your heart to Christ and start loving him and believing in him, here's a moment you can do that. Just pray along with me, one phrase at a time. Here we go. Lord Jesus, I come to you because I want to believe in you, that you came from the Father, that you are God in the flesh, that you died on the cross to pay for my sins, that you rose from the dead to complete God's plan of salvation for me. And I want to love you, Lord, to the best of my ability, and thank you. So right now, I reject everything else I've ever trusted to forgive my sins and get me into heaven, and I embrace you and your work on the cross for me as my one and only hope of sins forgiven and eternal life. Lord Jesus, I give my heart and my life to you. Help me love you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want you to go to my website and I want you to listen to Spiritual Boot Camp. It's right there under my sermons, just on the pull-down menu. Just pull it down, keep going, you'll see it. Listen to that series 3 or 4 times. It'll really help you get started in your Christian life. And if you did not pray that prayer with me, but you thought about it, that's right. I want you to listen to Spiritual Boot Camp. It'll help you make the decision to trust Christ. Okay, point that I want you to take home today. If you believe in Jesus, and if you love him and are trying to love him more and more, God has a special love, a familial love, a family love for you. You are no longer just a generalized person in the human race to him. You are his child, and he loves you with an everlasting love. Hey, how great is that? And it can't change once you become his child. You can't stop being his child. No matter how you perform, if you have a good day, a bad day, or an in-between day, doesn't matter how sweet it is. Praise the Lord. We'll see you next week on Live with Lon.